Hallelujah. Amen. Part of the reason why we love to come to church is just so we can thank Him. Amen. We can never thank Him enough for everything that He's done for us. Just for the fact that we have life. Amen. I'm so thankful to be caught up in God's great program and His plan. And we're just privileged. Amen. Just so thankful. You know, no matter what we go through, I want my testimony to be when we come to the end that no matter what mistakes I made, I was always thankful. That I want that to be my testimony. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Thank you, musicians. God bless you tonight. Amen. Well, while you're standing, we'll just go ahead and turn into the scripture tonight. I'd like to turn to John chapter 16. And we're going to kind of continue the same little direction that we've been on here a couple weeks ago. We were speaking about His presence with us, and so tonight we want to kind of continue that and speak about Him as our guide. John chapter 16, verse 7, he says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away." Of course, this is Jesus speaking to His disciples. "For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you, but if I depart, I will send Him unto you. And when He is come, He will reprove the world of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on Me, and of righteousness, because I go to My Father, and you see Me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. And I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. He shall glorify Me, for He shall receive of Mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are Mine, therefore I said He shall take of Mine, and shall show it unto you." So when He says, "show you the things of Mine," He's saying, "show you the things of the Father." And we know in another scripture, of course, He says, "I will send the Comforter unto you. I will come to you." Amen. Right? So we know that Spirit is His Spirit. It's the Spirit of Christ. It's the Holy Spirit dwelling in us in a different office of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Amen. Let's just bow our heads tonight for a word of prayer as we begin tonight. Father, we just want to come to You, Lord, as we change the order of the service tonight. Lord, we certainly thank You, Lord, for Your word tonight, and we thank You once again, Lord, that we can come and have a place to worship, Lord, have a place to hear Your word preached and to worship You and to sing about You, Lord, and to enter into an atmosphere of praise, Lord, to have our faith, Lord, built up, Lord, and by the preaching of the word and by the worship of the saints, Lord, to be lifted up into an atmosphere where anything can happen tonight, where it's just based on our faith being able to reach out and take a hold of a promise of God. Lord, we thank You for these times, Lord. We don't want to take them for granted. We want to take the opportunity that we have tonight, Lord, to get a hold of whatever we have need of. So, Lord, we're looking to You, Lord, to provide what we need tonight. And we just commit ourselves. We commit this service to You, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You can be seated tonight. God bless you. Man, you just remember Brother Baker in prayer tonight. He's still, I think he's just a little worn down, amen, and just physically needs some rejuvenation, so he'll be out of town for a few days, and just pray that he'd get some rest, amen, amen, just that God would be with him. But tonight we want to approach this subject of our guide, and as I said, these are Jesus' words. They're not exactly His parting words. He said other words to them before He left, but in a way it is. In a way, he's kind of summing up what's going to come and what's happening, what they can expect. And because you see, up to this point, God had been with them, right? In the form of Emmanuel, God walking with them. And that was an amazing turn, right? That was huge for them to accept God with them, that He was God in flesh, and that God was there, manifested in the flesh, walking with them, right? But He said, but look, this isn't all of it, right? This, as great as this is, and as wondrous as it is, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh. He said, as great as this is, and as wonderful as the blessings of Emmanuel, God with you, are, He says, it's good for me to go, because if I do not go, He will not come back to you. Amen. And they, I'm sure, didn't understand it at this point. They didn't understand it until He came back. But He was saying, look, what is coming is greater. Is far even beyond what you have experienced with Emmanuel with you. So, brother, sister, that's why tonight we should never think that we have come behind in anything. Amen. You know, it would be wonderful to walk with Jesus of Nazareth on the shores of Galilee, but that same God, that same Jesus, is the same tonight. Amen. And He is. In a form of the Holy Spirit, He has greater power and influence in our lives. Because now it is not just God with us, but it's God in us. It is God in you, working in you the will to do of His wonderful word. Is that right? So God had been with them, but now what a corner was about to be turned, where now it would not just be God that they could see and touch and speak to, but now God was going to indwell His people. He was going to tabernacle Himself in His church. Amen. And so tonight we want to look and focus on the 13th verse of this little portion of Scripture. It says, "Where, howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come." And we know that the Spirit of truth He's speaking about, of course, is the Holy Spirit, right? But He's saying that this Spirit of truth, He will come and He will guide you into all truth. Amen. Amen. Guide you into all truth. He will speak back of the Word of God that was already spoken. The Word of God that you were able to hear, and by hearing the Word came faith. Amen? Amen? And so He will speak back about that Word, that Logos Word, that has already gone forth, and He will show you things to come from that Word. Is that what He said? He will guide you into all truth. He shall not speak of Himself, right? He's speaking of the Word. But whatsoever He shall hear, the Word of God, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. Amen. He will take that Word, pull it off of written page or spoken word, and show you the manifestation of it to come. Amen? So, things that the Holy Spirit would reveal, future prophecy or anything, any revelation that is purported to come through the Holy Spirit must go back and agree with that Word. Is that right? So tonight we want to speak about that little portion that says where He will guide you into all truth. Amen. He is our guide tonight. Amen? Amen? And so a guide is someone that leads or directs another's way. It's in the original Greek word that's used there, it's used in the context of journeying, going on a journey, one that would guide you along your journey. Amen? He directs the course of your life. He directs your conduct during that course. He's a teacher. He's one that would lead you on your way. So when we speak about our journey, our way, we're talking about our life. Amen? Our life from the time we're born to the time that we breathe our last breath on earth, that's our journey. Amen? And so it's also in the context of a guide is someone that you would use to overcome great difficulty or to go through ways that you don't know about or you're unfamiliar with. Something that you don't have the power or ability to lead yourself through. The guide is there to take care of that for you. So the Holy Spirit is to be our guide through this journey of life. Amen. Now, we've been speaking about Israel and the pillar of fire in the wilderness leading Israel. And that was their guide in the wilderness, right? When that pillar of fire or the cloud, when it would start to move, they would pack up all their tents and head off and follow that pillar, that cloud. Is that right? That was their guide through the wilderness. They might have known the way, but maybe they didn't. They'd never been to the promised land, but it didn't matter because they were following him. Right. Amen? Amen. And that leadership is what made them different. Right? We spoke about how that they had the shout of the king in their camp. Well, it was because they were led by a guide. That's what made them different. They weren't just going wherever they wanted to. They weren't just saying, well, you know, that's nice, Moses. You guys are all going that way. I think I'll go this way. Right? That was, if you did that, you were cutting yourself off from the promise of God. Amen? So they would continue in the way following that pillar of fire, that pillar of cloud. Amen? Otherwise, they would count themselves unworthy of the blessing of God. It was serious business to go off, strike out on your own and say, no, I don't want that leadership. Amen? You counted yourself unworthy by your unbelief. Now, when we speak about a guide, and we know that Brother Branham spoke quite a bit about guides and guiding, and he was himself a guide from time to time out in the wilderness as a hunter. And a hunter will, hire a guide to help them. Brother Baker talked about it on his last hunt. He had hired a guide, and I believe he is on his current hunt that he's going on. You would hire a guide to help you, because they have expertise that you don't have, right? Maybe they know the area that you're going to. Maybe you've never been there, but they know. They know how to get you in and out safely. They know where all the animals might be, the water. They know the habits of the animals. Maybe they've done their homework and figured out where they are. But they have a specialty or a knowledge, an ability that you don't have. Now, if you think about something like a lawyer, right? If you're in a legal matter, you know, drawing up a will or anything that has to do with legal matters, oftentimes you will hire a lawyer. Right? Why? Because I'm not a lawyer, right? I don't know the law like a lawyer does. You don't know all the intricacies of it. You don't understand it. You don't have that training. Same with a doctor or an accountant or any of these kind of things. Right? So you hire a guide. You hire somebody to help you navigate through the treacherous waters of the law, or whatever it may be, right? To get you from point A to point B. So, and their job is to get you through that, to make you successful. You're hiring them so that they'll help you. Is that right? And so, but, you know, it's because we are not equipped to handle those. Now, I might be able, that doesn't mean I can't go. I could go get a book and study law, and, you know, maybe, you know, within a few years, maybe I could muddle my way through something. But why wouldn't I just humble myself? Right? And say, look, you know, this is not my deal. I'm gonna trust somebody else. Who does, it is their thing, right? So Brother Branham talked about hunting guides. He was a hunter, and the guide is an expert, right? So let's read a couple quotes here out of the Message of Guide, some of the things that he said. He said, now a guide has to know the way. He has to know where he's going, what he's doing, how to take care of you along the road. See, he's got to see that you don't come up lost. A guide is a selected man. The state selects this man if he is a guide, and now going on a trip into the wilderness where perhaps you're not used to going, it's not a good thing for you to go without one. Frankly, some places you can't even go without one. For instance, Canada. The guide has to sign your license. To the game warden, he has to sign himself in that he is responsible for you. Amen. That's a powerful thought. Amen. He is responsible for you. If anything happens to you, it's his responsibility. The guide is signing for you. Hallelujah. He's got to take care of you. He's got to see that you're not lost. Amen. He's got to be sure that he don't send you in somewhere that you don't know your way back. And if you do get lost, he's got to know the country so well he can just pick you up at any time. See, he's got to know all of these things or he cannot be a guide. He cannot be licensed to be a guide. For these things, sometimes you have to make an appointment, call ahead, make arrangements, get reservations to be taken out, and pay a lot of money. And sometimes he's filled up and he cannot take you. You have to put it off for a while of the earthly guide. But you never have to do that with God's guide. Hallelujah. He's always ready. Always ready. Now, if you don't get these preparations made and you're figuring on taking a trip into the wilderness where you haven't been before, you may come up lost and perish. You got about 1% chance to get out of the wilderness. If it isn't too dense, you might have 1% to get out by yourself. But if it's a very bad wilderness way back, you haven't got a chance to get out. There's no way to do it because you find yourself on the death walk. And then you're done, you're finished, and you'll perish if you haven't got a guide that knows the country and knows how to get back. Amen. Now keep in mind, this is the Holy Spirit we're talking about as our spiritual guide. Amen. He says, now just continuing a little further in that message, he says, now a guide knows where he's at regardless of the weather. He's equipped to do that. He knows what he's doing. He's familiar with everything. He knows the look of everything. He can just be in the darkness and he could feel a certain thing. For instance, here's an old trick to a guide. You know, if you can see the stars, anyone can tell which way you're going if you watch the stars. And you'll always want to watch the one true star. And there's only one true star, and that's the North Star. See, only one stands in the same place. That represents Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Others might wander away, but he remains the same. Amen. Churches may draw you off this way or draw you off that way, but not him. He's always the same. Amen. If you can't see the North Star and it's cloudy, you'll notice that it's daytime and you're lost. If you'll watch the trees is always, what's he doing? He's telling you the signs that the guide is looking for to be able to lead somebody through a treacherous time. Amen. He says the moss is on the north side of the tree, on the south side of the tree, the tree gets more sun. But what if it's dark and you can't see the moss? If you close your eyes and don't do any thinking, you close your eyes and get a slick bark tree, put your hands around the tree until your fingers meet and then start moving. So he talks about it. You hit a place where the bark is real thick. These are all tricks of the trade, right? You can tell which way you're heading, north or south. And oh, there's many things, but it takes guides to know how to do those things. Right. Just an ordinary man get up there and say, I don't feel no difference in it. See, you've got to be trained for that guiding. Amen. Specifically purposed for, or set aside for that purpose is what he's talking about. Amen. Amen. So the guide has to know the way. We're talking about our guide through life. Amen. What man or woman or human can you ask who's been all the way through life? None. Amen. Every person that you could ever talk to on the matter still has some life ahead of them that they haven't experienced. Amen. No matter how old they are, they haven't crossed over yet. They haven't gone all the way through life. But he has. Amen. Amen. He is the giver of life. Yeah. How much better guide can you get through life than the giver and creator of life himself? So the guide has to know the way. No matter the storms of life, no matter how dark it gets, amen, he can't be wavering. He has to know the way. And the Spirit of truth knows the way that we have to take. Amen? Now let me say something. He just doesn't know the way generically. He knows your way. He knows your path. Your footsteps are ordered by Him. Amen? He will lead you into all truth. Our man's wisdoms will fail. Amen? But His never fails. But brother, sister, we've got to follow. Right, you can't look at the guide and go, "What is he doing? I'm with this guy, and you remember Brother Branham's talking about wrap your arms around the tree and you feel it." Can you imagine somebody who didn't know what he's doing? Here we are, lost, and this dude's hugging a tree. What is he doing? Right, he's out there. If you question, you're like, "Man, you are crazy. I'm going this way." You're lost. Right? It doesn't compute with the man's wisdom. He doesn't understand the ways of the guide. But if he'll trust the guide, if he'll trust him, amen? If you don't trust him, you'll be lost for sure. But if you do trust him, you cannot fail.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You know, I remember my father-in-law used to tell different stories. He was in World War II. He was in the Merchant Marine. And the Merchant Marine, if you know, was they were the ships that they were supply ships for the military. And they would sail all over the world because everywhere, you know, we had fighting soldiers, they needed supplies. And so he got to sail all over the place. But he would talk about the ships when they would come into port. And this is true, you know, this is kind of it's true everywhere, but certain ports that the ships would come into, they had their own quirks, if I could put it that way. Some were kind of dangerous, right? There were different rocks in the different areas and things that you had to know how the currents went and where the rocks were to steer your ship safely into port. And so what they would do is, you know, they would come up to a certain point and then a boat would come out from port and they would bring a pilot on board. And the pilot knew how to navigate that port. He didn't know anything about the ship, maybe, right? He wasn't the captain of the ship. He had maybe never set foot on that particular ship. But he knew that port. He knew the way. He knew exactly where the currents were at certain tides, how to navigate through the rocks and in the weather, how to identify landmarks. He knew the way. And so no matter how much the captain, you know, who had control of his ship, he had to submit his control to that pilot and say, "Look, I trust you. You know where you're going." And let him guide his ship into port. Amen. That's what we have to do with our lives, brother, sister. We have to let the Holy Spirit have his way in our lives. He has to be the guide. He has to be the one that we turn over control to. We have to relinquish all of our control to him. Amen. Today, brother, sister, the pillar of fire is leading the church. Amen. If we will follow.
Amen.
He is leading. He is calling out. Follow me. Follow me. Amen. But it's up to us to hear and to follow. Amen. I'm so thankful tonight that he is infallible.
Amen.
Amen. Israel was led by that pillar of fire. Abraham was led by God. If you looked at Abraham's life, like if you were just somebody observing Abraham, he went here and then he went there and then he went over here. It looked totally chaotic, right? It looked haphazard. Then he was at this place, then he was at that place. It's like, Abraham, where are you going? What are you doing? He is following the leadership of God. But then you can look back. He could look back on his life and he could see where God had been moving every point in his life. Leading him here, leading him there, going through this trial, going through that trial. Amen? And sometimes our life is like that. We look back, in the midst of it, we're like, "Man, I don't know. It feels like I'm going this way and going that way." But then you look back and you go, "I see. I see God was at work in my life. That trial, it seemed like it was frustration. It didn't seem like I was making any progress, but now I see. I see where God was leading me through that trial all the time. Amen. You see, he's leading the church because he's the shepherd of the sheep. Let's read a couple of scriptures here. Psalm 119, 105 says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path."
Amen.
Amen. What is a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path? It shows you your next step. It shows you where you are going.
Yes.
She didn't say that it's showing you all the way to the end, but it's unto your feet. Right at your feet, where you need to take the next step. Psalm 23:1, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters." He's a leader. Amen. If we'll let him lead. "He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake." He's a good shepherd. He's not out to get his sheep killed. Right? He's not out to get his sheep ravaged by wolves. His goal and his motive is to lead you into the good pastures.
Amen.
You know, young people look at things in this message and they say, It seems like it's a burden and it's hard and, you know, I can't do this and I can't do that or whatever. That's the good shepherd leading you around trouble. Because those things that seem like they're not a big deal, that sin is subtle. And it gets a hold of you, and pretty soon it's a ravening wolf. Amen. But the shepherd, by his word, is leading you gently. But he's got good pasture for us. He's got blessings for us. Amen? If we can just follow him, if we can just let him lead us. He knows just where the best water is. Amen? Amen. The other thing about the shepherd is he lives among the sheep. Right, he's not the part-time shepherd that comes out, shows up at 8 in the morning and clocks in. Says, "All right, how are you doing today, sheep? Oh, there's a few of you missing. I wonder what happened last night." Right? And then at 5 o'clock, punch out. "See you guys, I'm going home. Hope you guys make it through the night." He lives with the sheep. He is the door to the sheepfold.
Amen.
Amen. He is the one that the devil has to get through to go to you.
Amen.
Amen. Whenever the enemy wants to approach a child of God, they have to approach him first. And then if he says that's for their good, I'll allow it. But I'm going to be right here with them, carrying them through it. Amen. He is that kind of God tonight, brother, sister. He is that present help. Amen. He is that good shepherd tonight. We should have complete confidence in him and trust in him. Hallelujah. And the great shepherd uses other small s shepherds, if I could put it that way. Right? He has ministry and pastors that are shepherds. He uses men as part of that mission. Amen? That's why he ordained pastors, that they would be shepherds, because the Holy Spirit uses that office to guide the sheep, to watch over the sheep. Amen. Amen. Let's just read a couple of statements here. Why it had to be shepherds. He says, now we're going to find out why it come to shepherds. They knew the sheep is helpless without the shepherd to guide them. A sheep is perfectly helpless and he cannot go by himself. Now, that's true. If you've ever been around sheep, they are helpless. They're not smart creatures at all. Good type of us. Amen. But here's the thing. If a sheep realizes he's helpless, that's okay. Because then he's depending on the shepherd. It's when the sheep thinks that he knows something. That's the problem. He said, he says, a sheep is perfectly helpless. He cannot go by himself. That's the reason God likened his believing children unto sheep, because they've got to be guided. But watch what's guiding you. Don't get a goat. He'll walk you to the slaughter pen. God never gave us a goat. He gave us his Son, the Holy Spirit, to guide us. He is our guide. Not some man-made herdsman, but a God-given herdsman who feeds the sheep upon sheep food. He says, now you take a pig and you say to this pig, I'm going to make you a lamb. And you wash him and you paint his toenails and so forth. And give him food like a sheep. Give him some kind of a diet. Put him out there on the floor with a sheep herd in the alfalfa field or something. If there's a mud hole anywhere, that hog will just go straight to that mud hole as he can go. See? Why? It's in his nature to still be a hog. Right. And that's the reason church members today indulge in the things of the world, because their nature hasn't been changed. They'll eat any kind of an ecclesiastical, theological slop, but the Word of God, they can't stand it. They'll go and listen to the Word. So you can tell a sheep if they follow the shepherd. He said, my sheep know my voice, and another they will not follow. But a pig can eat sheep food, but he'll also eat slop. Just like a raven will eat everything a dove will eat, but a dove won't eat everything a raven will. The dove wants he wants dove food. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. And a sheep, He wants to be led by the shepherd. He's dependent on the shepherd. Why it had to be shepherds, he said. He promised he'd send the baptism of the Holy Ghost. He'd call a bride without spot or wrinkle. Hallelujah. He promised to do it. He'll do it. Don't listen to these hireling shepherds that'll lead you astray. The Holy Spirit is the shepherd to feed you sheep food from this word.
Amen.
It always comes by the shepherd. He is our shepherd. Listen to him. You are the sheep of his fold. If you are, you hear his voice.
Amen.
Not what somebody else says. You hear what he says.
Amen.
A strange voice you know nothing about.
Amen.
And out of the Philadelphian church age, just one more on this. This is okay. I don't have too many more to read, so this one's a little bit longer, but he says, when I was over in the east, I saw that at nighttime the shepherd would gather all his sheep together. He would put them in a fold, and then he would count them. And he would, when he was sure they were all in, he would lie down in the open door of the fold and literally become the door to the fold. No one could get in or out except by him. He was the door. The next day, as I went riding with a friend in a jeep, I noticed that the shepherd began to lead his flock into the city. Right away, all traffic came to a stop so that the sheep could go through. Now, the cities over in East aren't like they are here. We keep all our merchandise inside, but there it's like a big farmer's market. All the produce on the pavement and passerbyers to see and buy. And I thought, oh my, here is where the riot begins. This herd of sheep is going to come barreling through this city with all of these food stands. He's thinking, man, this is going to be a mess, right? He says, wait till those sheep see all that food out there. But as the shepherd went ahead, those sheep just followed right along exactly each step.
Amen.
They would look at all those goodies, but not a sheep touched a thing. Oh, if I could only have known their language, I would have stopped traffic myself and preached them a sermon on what I just seen.
Amen.
When you are a sheep that belong to the great shepherd, you follow right along in each of his steps.
Amen.
Just as those sheep did. You won't be tempted to turn aside for some big flower of a church or listen to the voice of some DD or PhD or LLD, but you will stay with the shepherd.
Amen.
Amen. The Bible says that the sheep know his voice and they follow him.
Amen.
But a stranger's voice will only cause them to flee and run after their true shepherd. Praise God. Hallelujah. Brother, sister, this is one of the reasons why I follow this message. Why? Because I hear the shepherd's voice.
Amen.
Amen. Through that message. It's not, Brother Branham's not the shepherd, the great shepherd. Right? He was a shepherd. He was a pastor, a prophet, right? But through the preaching of the word, I hear the shepherd's voice. Amen. Because those shepherds, those faithful preachers and shepherds point us back to the word.
Amen.
And I always hear the Holy Spirit making that word come alive.
Yes.
I'm not interested in hireling shepherds. Amen.
Amen.
I've been turned back to the original word. My heart has been turned to the faith of the Pentecostal fathers. The original church. The original word. The original faith. Amen? Amen. He said, "My sheep know my voice. I hear him leading me into all truth." Amen. Holy Ghost filled teachers lead us into truth.
Yeah.
Amen. The problem is when men try to lead men without the Holy Spirit.
They
think that they have received a doctrine or revelation, so called, because they have head knowledge. And so they try to lead, but the Holy Spirit is not in them doing the leading.
Right.
When we hear our pastor preach, he is a man filled with the Holy Ghost. And I know that the Holy Spirit is leading him in his life. And so I am led by the Holy Spirit through his ministry.
Right.
Amen. Amen. Everybody's still with me here tonight. Amen. We're not elevating any man or anything like that. But man is that's the office that God uses. Now, you have the Holy Spirit. I have the Holy Spirit. Then the Holy Spirit can lead us. Let's read Luke 6:39. It says, "He spake unto them a parable and said," we're familiar with the scripture, "Can the blind lead the blind? Shall they not both fall in the ditch?" And that word "lead" that I made bold there, that's the same word that Jesus spoke for guide. Can the blind guide the blind? Amen. And you don't have to be that smart to figure that one out. Right? I'm not the sharpest tool in the drawer, but I'm pretty sure that the blind can't guide the blind. Right? That's what he's saying. He said, they'll both fall into the ditch. But, brother, sister, if we are hearing from the Holy Spirit, I'm not afraid of that.
Amen?
Amen? Because I'm not blind.
Right.
The problem is when the blind try to lead those whose eyes are open.
Right.
Amen?
Amen. Because I have the Spirit of truth, I'm not fooled by blind trying to lead me.
Amen.
I'm not drawn off and drawn astray by those that don't have the Holy Ghost, that are teaching false doctrine or even teaching subjective doctrine. They're teaching truth but without life. Having a form of godliness. Having a partial truth. But not a living truth. Amen? But if you have the guide, you won't be led by the blind.
Amen.
Notice there were two there. Blind, led by blind. Both were blind. Amen? Praise the Lord. Everybody come.
Amen.
Amen. Let's read Acts chapter 8, verse 26. Now here's the flip side of this. "The angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise and go towards the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, and was returning and sitting on his chariot reading Isaiah the prophet. He has the Word. He has a heart for the Word. He wants to know truth.
Yes.
Right. Amen? Verse 29, then the Spirit.
Yes. Amen.
So we know that Philip is led by the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is guiding him. Has led him to this eunuch. The Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, understandest thou what thou readest? Do you read with understanding? And he said, how can I, except some man should guide me? Now, we're trying to bring a little balance to this because there's a whole host of people. There's a spirit out there that's a Jezebel spirit that would reject headship and the leadership of the offices of ministry and say, no, we have the Holy Ghost. The Bible says that the Holy Ghost will lead us into all truth. The Bible says that you have no need that any man should teach you because you have the Holy Ghost. And so we don't need pastors. We don't need teachers. We don't need the five ministries of the Bible. We don't need that. And my response would be, well, what about this man? Right? Here's a perfect example. Do you understand what you're reading? He said, how can I except some man should guide me? Now, was Philip going to guide him? In a way. But Philip was following the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And he desired that Philip would come up and sit with him. So if you were looking at it, you would say, Philip is guiding him. But it's the Holy Spirit in Philip guiding the Ethiopian. Because he hadn't come to the place where he could be filled with the Holy Spirit, you know, and even then he can still be taught by the Holy Spirit through other men. And that's part of the key, brother, sister, when we receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, we then have discernment of the Holy Ghost in others. Brother Branham said, you can discern, when he says, when you've been born again, you can discern when someone else has the Holy Ghost. Right? Well, it's not always where you just walk up to somebody and, ooh, I feel a vibe. Right? That's not what he's talking about. Right? Some people have discernment in that way. Right? If I'm talking to you, they can discern spirits and they have a gift. Right? But you see that you can judge by the Holy Ghost. If you have the guide in your life,
right,
right, the same one that's leading my brother, I see that Holy Spirit leading him too. Because it's saying the same thing to me as it's saying to you.
Amen.
Amen. And our spirits agree.
Yes.
We're agreeing with the Word.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. The Holy Ghost. When the word is preached by a Holy Ghost filled preacher, there's something in you that says, amen.
Yes.
That's the truth.
Yes.
Amen. Listen to that. Not the person, but there's a Holy Ghost behind that person, or inside that person, leading.
Amen.
Speaking. Amen. Philip was helping this man know the Word of God. He was leading him by the leadership of the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit rightly divides the Word, right? He could read the Word, but he really couldn't understand it. He couldn't place himself in the Word. He couldn't see that what it was speaking of him, right? But the Holy Ghost would come to do that, to divide it, to place it, to help us know where we are in the Scripture. Brother, sister, of all people, we know where we are in the Bible. We know where we are in the Scripture. Amen?
Amen.
We have the word restored. It's no longer misapplied or misconstrued or misplaced.
Amen.
But that, brother, sister, is still only a part of being led into all truth. Remember what he said is he will guide you or lead you into all truth. To be led into a truth is more than just getting information. So many people just get information of the message, but they aren't led into the truth of the message. They say, oh, I see water baptism. Oh, I see oneness of the Godhead. I see this doctrine. I see that doctrine. Man, it makes... But are you being led by the Holy Spirit into that truth? Amen. It's different. Amen. And that's what we want to show just for the next few minutes that we have. To know the truth. Amen. To be intimately acquainted with it. To make it your own. To be experience it. Amen. To know it through experience. To be affected by the truth. So many people just sit through a sermon on a Wednesday night and they go, yeah, it's the truth. Without allowing the Holy Spirit to lead them into the truth that's being preached. It's okay just to say, yeah, amen. Amen, yeah, that's the truth. Right? But are you moving into the truth? You see, the truth is living. And it changes lives. Amen. It affects you. It works on you. It's not just an understanding. It starts with an understanding in our heads. But an unfilled believer, a believer who's not filled with the Holy Spirit, doesn't have that guide dwelling in them, can hear the word preached by a Holy Ghost-filled preacher and receive it in their heads. Amen? And yet not be led into that truth by the Holy Spirit. Because they don't have the guide. But He leads us into the whole truth. And nothing but the truth. Amen? So we have confidence that not only will we receive all that we have need of, we'll receive the abundance of the Word, the whole truth. Amen. Everything that's good and perfect, amen, that belongs to you, He will lead you into that. Amen. But He will lead you into only the truth. Amen. He won't lead you into falsehoods and lies and shadows of doubt. Amen? Brother, sister, that becomes the foundation for our lives. That becomes the lamp for our feet. Amen. Being led into truth. Amen. That becomes the light whereby we take our next step in our lives. Whereby we look and we don't see how we could get through a trial, but the truth of God, or the Holy Spirit begins to lead us into the truth of God concerning that trial, and then we walk through it. Amen. Where David said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because He is with me. Amen. Amen. We can say tonight, He is in us. Yes. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Amen. The foundation for our lives. A couple more scriptures. 1 Corinthians 2:9. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. We often quote that. You can't, eye has not seen it, nothing that you can imagine, amen. But, verse 10, God hath revealed them to us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things. Yea, the deep things of God. Amen. He's leading us into all truth. Amen. Amen. That's not to say that there will be things that you don't, or there won't be things that you don't understand. Right. Right? There'll be things that in your life you will never understand until you get to the other side. Amen. You'll wonder, I don't know, I don't understand it. But that's not what we're talking about. What we're talking about is Him leading you walking in truth. Everything that's ordained for you to walk in. Amen. As a believer. Amen. And that continues. Amen. But verse 14:26, he says, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you.
Amen.
All things he shall teach you. Amen. We don't fall behind in anything tonight. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
So, sometimes when we speak about being led into all truth, we have a tendency to think of doctrine, right? And that is true. Doctrine is absolutely important. And maybe we think of he's leading me, the pillar of fire, when we use that imagery, right, where the Spirit of God is leading you, the pillar of fire is leading you. You're thinking, okay, big decisions, right? It's like Israel marching out of Egypt into the wilderness. You know, the Holy Spirit, the pillar of fire is going to lead me to the right church, right? And he's going to lead me where to live and what spouse to marry and whether to go to college or not, or what to do for my job, right? These big decisions in life. And that is true. He will lead you in those things. In fact, you better seek his leadership in those things, or you'll be in trouble. Amen? You absolutely 100% should look to the leadership of God for all of those things. But he said he would lead you into all things. That means everything in your life.
Right. Amen.
All parts of your life. Amen? All of life's decisions, big and small. We don't realize we are making decisions all the time. All the time. I mean, we are constantly making decisions. Amen? And we should be led by him in every one of those. And again, I'm not talking about, you know, what should I do today? And should I? Well, that's true too. But what about the attitude that you came into church with? That was a decision. That was a choice that you made. Amen. You should be led into all truth. So that means that every decision that you make should be being led by the Spirit into the truth of God. How you act, where you set your affections. Amen? Whether you hold on to that grudge or not. Amen. How you think about your brother or your sister, what you value in life. Amen? What your attitude in prayer is. Amen. All these things he's looking to lead you into his truth. What's your attitude in the midst of a trial? Amen. Brother Doug just been pounding on that, right? What's your attitude? Is it, you know, I'm feeling sorry for myself? Is, you know, the melancholic, right? I feel sorry for myself. Nobody loves me. Or I'm a loser. Right? You could go down the list. That's not the Spirit of God leading you to say that.
Amen.
He leads you into truth.
Amen. Yes, amen.
And nowhere does the word say that you're a loser and I'm, you know, none of that. Amen? Your attitude in trials, how you hold your confession, what you speak from your lips. Amen? It's not just the pillar of fire leading you in these big areas of your life. He wants to lead you and be your guide in all of these small areas. Small. But actually, they are big. They make up the bulk of your life. Amen? So are you willing to be led by the great shepherd in the confession of your mouth? Are you willing to be led by the great shepherd in your attitudes towards someone? Toward a boss or a coworker? Amen?
Amen?
How you act at your attitude at work? The confession of your faith? Amen? In the face of an enemy?
Amen.
The confession of your faith in adversity? In the attacks of the devil?
Amen? Amen.
confession of faith in spite of symptoms and in spite of what your senses tell you. That's what the Holy Spirit is leading you into. He's calling and trying to lead you to speak a confession of faith.
Amen.
He said, look, if you would just confess my word, what a difference it would make. Amen. But it takes submission to the guide. These are all choices, brother, sister. Choices where we can choose to follow the guide. Amen? You have a choice to follow. We're being taught by the Holy Spirit as He chips away at your carnality.
Yes. Amen.
Amen. That's what leading us into all truth means.
Amen. Yes.
My.
Amen.
So finally, with what time we have left here tonight, another part of the definition or the role of a guide is a steadying force. Amen? A steadying force. And the visual that comes to mind when I think about that is, I used to, when I was in high school and in college, when I was a young man, I used to work on farms, ranches, dairies, that sort of thing. And there was a lot of equipment, a lot of different equipment that would be used. And some of it had these big belts. And the belts would move really fast, right? So you'd have these big, heavy belts on pulleys. And it was, you know, moving things or you know, spinning saws or whatever it was meant to do. But these belts could be very dangerous, right? And they were spinning at very high speed, and usually they were on big pulleys or big metal wheels that were very heavy. All of it was very big and heavy. But as long as that belt stayed in its track, it was great. It did your work for you, right? It was a benefit. Because it had a lot of power and it was running with great speed, but there were so many forces on those belts. There was heat and there was centrifugal force and there was things that would get stuck in them just in the course of working. There was dirt that would get in there or hay would get stuck in things and they could heat up and start to rub and they would get off track. Amen? There was a guide. There were chunks of metal, or there were pieces of metal or hoops or different things that were put in place so that if that belt started to get out of line just a little bit, the guide was there to steady it, to stop it from moving out of its place, to keep it and to move it back into its position. Oh, hallelujah. Because you see, if it went too far, it would tear itself apart. It would break. It would break everything around it. It was destruction. It was mercy that there was a guide there, holding it and keeping it. Amen. And you would see it, and you could see it rubbing up against that guide. And you say, oh, something's wrong. It's got some dirt in it, or it's got something. It needs to be cleaned out. And you could stop it and clean it out and get it going again. And then it was running true. Amen? So the guide is a steadying force in our lives.
Amen.
That's what the Holy Spirit is, brother, sister.
Amen?
Amen? It's a force that holds us and keeps us. It keeps us on track. Amen. It was like that, the vision that Brother Branham saw of the bride. He would yell out, stay in line. Stay in line. Amen. That's the Holy Spirit is crying out through the ministry, through the message, stay in line.
Amen.
It cries out when you read your Bible. Amen. It says, listen to that. Stay in line. Let's walk into that truth. Amen. It leads you into that truth to keep you in line. And brother, sister, if you stay in line, There's power in that. Amen. Then power can be applied to that machinery and everything is just working. Right? There's great energy that's being applied and things are happening in your life that were God ordained for you to do. You can accomplish those things. Amen. But it takes the guide sometimes to keep us settled, to keep us in our track. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, often, you know, we it seems like lately we look around and we go, I don't know how many times I've heard this phrase spoken just in the last 6 months. We live in unprecedented times, right? There's no precedent for this. This is unprecedented, right? Well, I hear that and that's true. But brother, sister, every church lived in unprecedented times. Amen? They all lived out what they were supposed to do in their age. The martyrs, that was an unprecedented time. But they lived through it. Why? Because he was in control. He was a steadying force on the believers, guiding them, amen, in the way that they should walk. He was in them, giving them the power to march forward. Amen. As an ox, a sacrificial animal. Amen. Giving their lives for the gospel. It was unprecedented. Well, it's unprecedented now. Guess what? A body change is a little unprecedented. I mean, there's some precedent, right? We know that it has happened. But not at the scale that it's going to happen. Not the way it's going to happen where we're going to be caught, resurrection and then being caught up. And right, the end of Gentile age and all of these things is coming up. We're living in unprecedented times. But that's just the way the church is. Amen? And we're not worried about it because we've got a guide.
Amen.
He knows the way.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
If we find ourselves fearful and uneasy about this, we need to be looking to the guide.
Amen.
Yes, it's dark. Yes, the times are perilous, but we've got a guide, brother, sister. He knows the way. He knew that every step that we would take. He knew everything that would happen. He knew it back then. He knows it now. He sees the beginning from the ending, and he's leading us and guiding us every step. There is nothing out of cater for the child of God that's living in Christ. So it settles us down, right?
Amen.
Amen. It settles us knowing that the guide is steadying our walk.
Right.
He's making sure that everything in your life runs just right.
Amen.
In fact, Brother Branham said that's his responsibility.
Amen.
Right? He said that the guide signs up and takes responsibility for you.
Amen.
He's the head. Amen. Every man knows when you get married, you're taking responsibility.
Yes.
You're the head of the family. Amen. You're responsible. God is looking to you as the head. Right? As long as the wife submits herself to the husband is the one that God is holding responsible.
Right.
Amen. Well, Christ is the head of the church.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
Amen. The guide, he is responsible for us. I trust him, don't you? I think he's able to handle it. Amen. If we'll let him. Amen. Let's just read this last statement. You can stand to your feet tonight. This is from the Laodicean Church Age. I love this because this is our church age, brother, sister. He says, "The Son died upon the cross to establish the means of salvation. And the Holy Spirit carefully executes the will of the Father. He is working all things at this moment according to the purpose of his own will. He is right in the midst of it all." Remember, we read that however many weeks ago, a couple weeks ago that was. Christ in the midst of his church, right? He's right in the midst of it all. He is in the midst of his church. This great creator, Savior God, is faithfully working amongst his own right now as the great shepherd of the sheep. Oh, brother, sister, how wonderful this is. Amen? His very existence is for his own. Can I read that again? His very existence is for his own. He loves them and cares for them. His eye is ever upon them. When the word says that your lives are hid with Christ in God, it means exactly what it says. Amen. Now, brother, sister, you've probably heard Brother Branham say, you know, he's preached those sermons and he's quoted that song, "There's an Eye Watching You," right? I don't remember how that song goes, but the gist of it is that God sees. He sees everything that you do. Right? And for the sinner, that's a frightful thing. Because what you're doing in secret, you're doing before God. Every thought speaks in heaven. There's nothing hid from him. But for the believer that's filled with his spirit, that's under the seal of the Holy Ghost, he sees everything in your life. Everything in your life, every sin has been judged and wiped away. And he gave you the Holy Ghost to prove it. He doesn't give you the Holy Ghost if you haven't become sinless. Not that you will never, right? We're not preaching sinless perfection. That is perfection in this flesh. We are preaching sinlessness in the soul. Your sin has been judged. Amen. And there's an all-seeing eye watching you. But that all-seeing eye is not to condemn you. It's to guard you, to watch over you. He's the shepherd of your life. He's caring for you. He says his eye is ever upon them. You're the apple of his eye. Amen. Amen. When the word says that your lives are hid with Christ in God, it means exactly what it says. Oh, I am so glad that my God abides faithful. He is true to himself. He won't lie. He is true to the word. He will back it up. He is true to us. He will lose none of us, but raise us up in the last day. I'm glad I am resting in his faithfulness. Philippians 1:6 says, being confident in this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. The guide is committed tonight to getting you safely through to your destination. Amen. Sealed in. There's nothing that can stop you. Not your strength, not your ability, but the guide is making sure that it will happen. Amen. Aren't you thankful for that tonight? I just love him, don't you? I'm so grateful for God's mercy and grace in my life. I'm so thankful that he's faithful. He's present. Amen. He's on the scene. He's on the job. And he's not bothered by it. He wants to do it. Amen. He wants to provide for us. He wants to lead us. He wants to guide you into all truth tonight. Amen. And brother, sister, it's for us. Amen. It's for us. Hallelujah. Let's just bow our heads tonight. Oh, Father, we love you so much, Lord. Lord, when I begin to read these things in your word, and Lord, it just begins to move in my heart. Lord, it just makes me love you that much more. To know how faithful you are, Lord. You're a good God, Lord. You're a good shepherd, Lord. You are the good shepherd. And I know, Lord, that you're leading us and guiding us tonight. Father, I pray, Lord, that you would come tonight and just calm and still the hearts of your people, Lord. Sometimes, Lord, we can just get so spun up, Lord. Things happening around us and the trying times and the signs of the end, Lord, they're all heaping up. The sin is heaping up around us, Lord. And Lord, we begin to look around at those things and we begin to be shaken in our spirit, Lord. We begin to be afraid, oh God. We begin to let fear anoint us, Lord. Wonder about the future, things like that. Oh God, I pray that you bring a steadying force tonight. I pray that your Holy Spirit would just come and anoint, oh God. Lord, that it would just bring a blanket of love and peace, Lord. Peace and joy that passes understanding, Father. Lord, that's the kind of shepherd you are, Lord. You're leading your sheep into green pastures, Lord. Help us, Lord, to surrender to you, Lord. And Lord, we want you to lead us, Father. We don't want to go wandering off on our own, Lord, trying to find our own way. But we want you to lead us and guide us in everything, Lord. Help us to hear your voice, Lord, in every situation. Help us to hear your word, Lord, and be led into all truth. Oh, how we love you tonight, Lord. We thank you for these things, Lord. I thank you for my brothers and sisters here tonight, Father. I thank you for faithful children, Lord. Lord, that they're looking, they're listening for your voice. Thank you, Lord. Bless each one tonight, I pray, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God will make a way where there seems to be no way. He works in ways.